He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Or your kids aren't walking with the Lord. I don't see. See, we look at how we see and what we think is going to happen. God sees the big picture. That's why he says, trust in me. Have faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I can't see it, but you can. So I trust in you, not in our economy, not in the military, not in the news. I trust in you and you alone. I have faith in you. And then you walk out that faith. And by walking out that faith, you respond to things. You don't react. You don't live like the world lives. You don't live in fear.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on Regaining Lost Ground kicks off a special new series from Pastor Shane called Through the Bible. The first sermon in this series, Who Did This? Genesis 1. Protestant Reformation leader Martin Luther was once quoted as saying, "Now if I believe in God's Son and remember that he became man, all creatures will appear 100 times more beautiful to me than before. Then I will properly appreciate the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, apples, as I reflect that he is Lord over all things." God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but also on trees and in the flowers and clouds and stars. Do you believe in the inerrancy of God's living word? We are thirsting for wisdom while drowning in information. God's word has never been more relevant, from critical race theory and racism to truth, transgenderism, and tolerance. God's word is crystal clear on all these issues. Join us today for a timely and, most importantly, relevant message from Pastor Shane as he begins a provocative and life-changing series, Through the Bible. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
I've been prompted this morning to maybe share this, but why these songs about the Holy Spirit? Well, you have to realize that the Holy Spirit leads, the Holy Spirit directs, the Holy Spirit convicts, the Holy Spirit regenerates, the Holy Spirit fills, the Holy Spirit converts. I don't understand quite how it all works, just like I don't understand how my truck works, but it works. And you know, and I know you need the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's fire, quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, surrendering to the Spirit, being led to the Spirit. So we look at the triune nature of God. God is one, but he reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we're not overemphasizing that doctrine per se, but we recognize that that is our only hope. God has to fill his church with the Spirit and bring a spiritual awakening. If you're wondering, what is it going to take to get America back on track? And that's what it's going to take. And I'm not necessarily convinced that, you know, we will get back on track. It could just be a spiritual battle from here on out. When God is working, so is the enemy. But I'm very encouraged when God is working because he's in control. The enemy is not in control. So I am excited to start the very first message in this series going through the entire Bible. Now, what that looks like is anyone's guess, because I'm not doing verse by verse by verse. Even though I could, it would take about 8 years to 10 years to do it that way. And that's, I'm just being honest, that's about what it takes. I'm going to, sometimes in Genesis, yes, and other chapters, verse by verse for sure. But when you get to Proverbs, that's a little difficult. You know, he's all over the place. And when you get to the minor prophets, sometimes here's what Hosea said, here's what he spoke to, and you can key verses. You don't have to necessarily go through every single verse. So I'm going to be open to what God wants to do. But here's a few key reminders, and I might remind you about this from time to time. We need to always ask, who is thinking for me? Because you're not necessarily thinking for yourself. It's okay, you can check your phones now, make sure they're on vibrate. I'm thinking for myself. You're either being influenced by God and his word and his principles, or you're being influenced by the pull of the world and the world system. We're not neutral. We're led one way or the other. So listen to Wednesday's message that I just gave. I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be on YouTube. I will just tell you that right now. They have been warned from a few people that that's probably coming down. And so listen to Wednesday's message. It's on YouTube on who thinks for you. And the reason it's so important because there is a civil war of ideas being fought. Right now, the civil war in our nation that is being fought is a war of ideas. How worldviews, how people think. And I like what, I don't know who it is necessarily, but I saw on Facebook, Christy Johnston. I don't know, maybe she goes here. The name sounds familiar. May it never be said of me that I was silent in the face of fear, and in doing so, I passed the battle on to my children. And so it's a key reminder, and I know it's difficult. I'm in the fight like you are. Not everyone likes what I do. I know it's hard to believe, but there is quite a bit of criticism, quite a bit of demonic attack, quite a bit, of, especially when you get political. You hit hot button issues, boy, oh boy, this is a loaded gun. We live in this world, and everything, what you say is seems to be like a loaded gun all the time. And then also we need to keep this in mind, who you are speaks so loud that what you say can't always be heard. So remember, it's about who we are, our character, who we are, how we act. Not about quoting scriptures all the time, but living out the scriptures. And then when we speak them, it gives it a lot more weight. And then as we're in Genesis especially, questioning science is science. Never forget that. Questioning science is science. And one of the issues out there, if you know me, I like to speak on what's going on. And I don't have all the answers. Christians have a good pulse on things, but we don't have a perfect pulse. We've been wrong before, and that's why I'm a lot more careful now to just kind of, let's pray about certain things, let's make sure that news story's correct, amen. But science, so what's going on with the vaccines or masks and different things, it's good to, it demands questions. And when they want to silence questions, it makes you really wonder what is going on. And so science, question science, it always has over the years. It always, especially I remember it was 150 AD, I believe it was. One scientist, I think it was, I don't remember his name, I think I've written down. He recorded, and they taught, and they believe there are exactly 1,022 stars. But what happened? Something was invented called the telescope, and we learned a lot more. They used to practice, I think George Washington, one of our first president, used this remedy. It was called bloodletting, where they would drain your blood to get rid of the disease. I mean, we can talk about DDT on your skin for mosquitoes, right? Little kids, and lead-based paint, and it's okay for pregnant women to smoke, and something called cocaine was in Coca-Cola. And, we're not perfect. Scientists make mistakes. God doesn't. And so it's okay to question things. And I want to even encourage you, it's fine to question God's word, as long as it comes from a right heart. Okay, let me frame that up here. If you don't have questions, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. If you understand Genesis to Revelation, especially Revelation, no questions whatsoever, you got it down, love to talk to you. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't understand that. I don't. I love you. I appreciate. I just don't understand this, but you're inerrant, you're wise, you're all-knowing, you're sovereign. I trust this. That's actually what happened. Many of you know, but some don't know, that Billy Graham walked away from his faith, probably when he's around 30 years old. Someone by the name of Chuck Templeton was much, they said, smarter, better preacher than Billy Graham, but he got educated. Went to university and began to doubt the Bible, began to doubt things that were in it, and began to challenge Billy. How do you know this? How, look at this. Science proves this. Science says, look at how. And then he had a struggle with faith. He couldn't preach anymore. He was considering going to that same university. And one day he went up in the mountains out by Palm Springs and laid his Bible on the stump of the tree. And he said, Lord, I don't understand everything, but by faith, I'm believing that this is your word. And from that day forward, he never had that challenge again. So faith does play a role. We don't check our brains at the door. But we also have faith in who God is and in his word. It doesn't contradict itself as people think. And then also another thing to remember, again, I'm just giving you these key reminders for this series. It's so important. We must be tolerant, but not tolerate sin. And that is the challenge. You hear that? You're not intolerant. You're intolerable. No, we're very tolerable. And we're tolerant. We understand people struggle. We're tolerant of that, but we can't be tolerant of sin. We can't just, you know, throw things under the rug, not talk about it, just tolerate everything. And that's a hard balancing act too, because some things cannot be tolerated by what is happening in our nation, what we're seeing. But other things, people struggling with sin, we have to be tolerant of that and love them through it and help them through it. So it is a hard balance to find. I'm going to seek to find that balance. And then number five, one more. The Old Testament is like a dimly lit room, and the New Testament shines a light on it. So I'm going to be using both the old and the new, shedding this light onto each other. It's all one word. It's all God's word. And if you want to know, how do we get our Bible? How is it trustworthy? Why do you say this is God's word? And you need to go to our website and look at the message, How We Got Our Bible, What Translation Is Best. That's what it's called, How We Got Our Bible, What Translation Is Best. And I talked about it for an hour on how we actually got the Word of God and why we believe it is an inerrant, inspired Word of God. And as we go through it, I'm going to talk about each week probably some of the controversy or some of the things in question or some of the questions out there that some of our teens sent in and some of you have sent in. And then finally, I love this one. Spurgeon said it. No authority is more powerful than Scripture, for it is not only true, but it has the force to support it. So the Word of God, as we're looking at it, and I have, I don't know how much to share with you or not, because, you know, you get in trouble sometimes. But I have pastor friends who actually make, or at least I know that, I wouldn't say they're friends, they say, they make statements like, well, we can't really trust some of Paul's writings. You're already going down, buddy. You just jumped on the slippery slope and you're heading down. Well, that was back then, Shane. That was the culture of their day. And so now, there are some things that are cultural. That's why you have to look at the historical context of Scripture, the complete context, the overall context, the historical ramifications. For example, one of the things on the issue of, you'll read in the Bible, head coverings. That women must wear head coverings. I personally believe that that was a cultural thing in the Middle East that signified a submission to her husband. Like you see now, they're covered up in the Middle East. If I were to say, Morgan, I just read the Scripture, get on that head covering every Sunday. It wouldn't send the right message. You miss the message. The message is submission. I submit to Christ and die to Christ, love my family, and then the headship that we'll get into in a little bit too as we go through Genesis. So see, that was a cultural thing. It sends a certain message. So some things I do believe were cultural, but they not moral implications, not the moral laws of God's word never change. They are still the same, and they're still consistent. If God said, thou shalt not, he's not saying thou shalt now. He doesn't change in that area. And so the title of the message is, who did this? Who put all this together? Who created all of this? And do you know there's millions of people, even in America, they teach it in our universities, that it all just happened. It all just happened. That's like me saying, they're all going to put themselves in order, a nice straight line. Okay? It's going to go back to, let's see, anybody want to see? It's going to make a nice straight orderly line. All right, let's do this. Let's pick it up and keep trying until it does. Anyone want to stick around? Why? Order cannot come from chaos. There has to be a create. I need those back, guys. Don't you take. So that's the point. Who did this? Who created all? It just did not come from nothing. Something comes from nothing. Order comes from chaos. Let's just use our mind. And when you talk to people who, like you, you've watched videos with Hitchens or Hawking's or these famous atheists, they are just mad at God. But there's no God. So what are you mad at? So it's an issue of the heart. It's not really an issue of facts. It's an issue of the heart. I don't want there to be a God. Because this is absolutely, I mean, that's what I told Pastor Abram this week. This is the most exhausting sermon series I've ever done. Because you could just camp out at Genesis 1 for 3 weeks. When I started to look at you can Google all this. Make sure you find the right page, though. But the probability of life on Earth, what has to happen with the nitrogen level and the oxygen level and the atmospheric pressure, and I'm just like, it just boggles your, all the these perfect little things that have to happen to support life. If it's even off balance at 1%, there's no life. And so all that, come on. Who's really foolish here? They think Christians are foolish and, you check your brains at the door. You don't use intellect. No, you don't. You think all this just happened. That's you have greater faith, actually. You have greater faith than I do. So who did this? Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So see, there is an element of faith in there. I don't hide away from that. Of course, you take wisdom, common sense, look at what God has given us. Creation screams creator. And then you place a faith in what God has done and is doing. Science and faith, what I have found, confirm each other. They don't disagree. Why are there seashells on the top of mountains? Global flood? Oh, no, that could have never happened. Was the earth ever connected? You notice how the connection? And then great cataclysmic event, and the deeps were open, and mountains were formed. And I mean, I have no other explanation. Even one of the top atheists, when he was pressured, it was either Hawking's or Hitchens, I don't remember. Somebody was pressing him. Well, where did it come from? And he finally just said, we came on the back of crystals from aliens. Okay, who made the aliens? But they hate God. They hate the concept of God. They hate morality. They hate anything to do with God. Because the darkness has bound them and they hate the light. It's a battle. It's a battle. Even Darwinism, if you've researched that, and most scientists even now are saying, how could this be possible? They can't, there's no what they call the missing link, right? You don't see species changing from you don't catch that in the fossil record. You catch nothing. You see what you see in the fossil record. I talked to atheists about this before and they agree. You see a mass extinction in the fossil record. Just billions of animals laid out. Okay, well, where did that happen? How did that? Maybe a flood? And so there is the science and faith. Granted, there are some things that don't line up. I mean, don't line up, I shouldn't say, that we just don't quite understand. But there is so much there that where faith and science agree. And so we're not reckless in this belief. There is evidence. I just saw this on Facebook, a quote. When scientists cannot accurately predict the weather in their local community, how can they tell us with assurance what happened in another galaxy 4 billion years away? And now, so I don't come across too critical, we love scientists. We need scientists. I think there's some scientists that come here. Maybe a rocket scientist once came. And so we love it. We appreciate it. But you have to understand that they're infallible. I'm sorry, they're fallible. God is infallible. They are with error. We make mistakes. If you look at what heart surgeons or what they used to do with hearts and different things 100 years ago and what they recommend now, and you see that we're progressing, we're learning certain things. And with even Einstein's, what is that? E equals MC squared, energy equals mass, something times two, you guys know. The smart ones know out there. But even that, was he was challenged by certain people, and we're still learning. That's all I'm saying. And so there's been carbon dating testing where they said this is like a billion years old, and they come to find out it was formed by a volcano about 300 years ago. And it's just, and so we can, my point is we cannot trust in science. We can glean from it, we can learn from it, but I put it into the filter of God's word, not the other way around. And to me, God's word makes complete sense in light of science. Oh, I was mentioning his name is Claudius, who recorded 1,022 stars. in AD 150. And that was the standard. That's what they, because what did they do? They saw. Blessed, do not trust in your own understanding. Do not trust in your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. And because we, here's the thing with faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So this, see, I see something. How many of us are saying right now, this is not going to work out well, Lord. I see, I'm not too hopeful on September 14th. If you can rig a national election, you can probably play some games with the state election too. Sorry, I won't go there. But you can see things I don't see. I don't see. There's not a lot of hope. I don't see things aren't going good, or your kids aren't walking with the Lord. I don't see. See, we look at how we see and what we think is going to happen. God sees the big picture. That's why he says, trust in me. Have faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I can't see it, but you can. So I trust in you, not in our economy, not in the military, not in the news. I trust in you and you alone. I have faith in you. And then you walk out that faith. And by walking out that faith, you respond to things. You don't react. You don't live like the world lives. You don't live in fear. You look to God and his word. And then before I start Genesis 1, the last scripture that's so important, and I love reading the scriptures because a lot of people are really, they don't know the scripture, so when they see it, really the light comes on. But Romans 1:20 is huge. I did choose the English Standard Version. I've memorized before the New King James and the King James. For the invisible attributes are clearly seen. And this one, though, really speaks to the issue as well. For his invisible attributes, God's attributes, who he is, namely his eternal power, meaning what is his eternal power? Creation, his ability to create, and his divine nature have been vaguely perceived. They have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that people are without excuse. So here's your answer when people say, what about that poor little boy in the jungles of Africa who've never heard about Jesus? God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. God will reveal himself no matter where a person is. They're without excuse. That's why a person is without excuse. Because God, it's clear. What people with a thinking mind can see, I'm not God. I'm a speck of dirt on this planet. I need to know who you are. And that's why God gives visions and dreams to many in the Muslim countries. Or those in Africa or in jungle, they'll see. They don't know exactly Jesus' name, but they see, or God will reveal himself to those who are truly seeking. They're without excuse. But Romans goes on to say, but they suppress the truth in all ungodliness. It's like pushing a ball underwater. They, you know, that have you ever done that in the pool? And that boy, I've got nailed a couple times right in the chin with a basketball. And that's what we're going to, and so suppressing the truth. The more you begin to suppress the truth, God says, I will give them up to a depraved and corrupted mind. I begin to compare what was on the media 30 years ago to now.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with his ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when he calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.